Yes.
Blog Talk Radio.
My dear friends, Christian, non-Christian, Buddhist, Islamic, whatever you might be, whatever thought or idea engrosses you, I welcome you to this show in every way. All are welcome, all faiths, all nations, all peoples, all thoughts. I'm interested in dialoguing with people and seeing, getting their perspective on ideas and thoughts that are important. What I'm going to talk about tonight is Galileo, who had a kind of one of the world's greatest scientists and thinkers, and he had a little bit of a problem with the Catholic Church because the Vatican authorities at that time, it had been formerly taught that the Earth was the center of the universe, and this misconception emanated from Copernicus. In fact, it is rather a reasonable assumption. It's no more ridiculous in a sense than the conception that the Earth is flat. So the Earth appears flat. However, I want to talk about this misunderstanding with the Church. The Church thought, according to Copernicus, the Earth was the center of the universe, and in many ways it is. But you only find people here, you'll only find life here, you'll only find Christ and his message here, you'll only find the things that of life itself here. No matter how far scientists have looked, they have found nothing but life here and beings here. But anyway, I mean, the Church sided with Copernicus, and Galileo was arrested, and accusations were lodged to him by the religious authorities. I mean, he was in prison for a period of time. I think the position of the Catholic Church, that the Earth was the center of the universe, and Galileo, in his view, that the Earth revolved around the sun, were both right. But they came at the matter from different angles, from different perspectives. There is no doubt that the Earth revolves around the sun physically. The physical Earth revolves around the sun. It is not the center of the universe. But in many ways, the Earth is the center of the universe, at least theologically, philosophically, and metaphysically. It appears to be the case, despite valiant attempts by scientists to prove otherwise. The fact of the matter is human beings and life have not been found anywhere else in the entire universe. Searches have been made for life, at least in the planets nearby us, such as Mars and Venus, and nothing has been found. Therefore, for whatever reason, unknown reason, humanity has made its stand in the Earth and no other place. Nobody knows the reason for this, and there seems to be some mystery in connection with this fact and phenomenon. As I say, the Earth physically revolves around the sun, but in many ways the Earth is the center of the universe, at least theologically, philosophically, and metaphysically. And that appears to be the case, despite valiant attempts by scientists to prove otherwise. Human beings would not be found anywhere else in the entire universe, and searches have been made for life, at least in the planets nearby, such as Mars and Venus, and nothing's been found. Therefore, you might say, for whatever unknown reason, humanity has made its stand, and life has made its stand in the Earth and no other place. And there seems to be some mystery and connection with the Earth, but in many ways, the Roman Catholic Church was right. The Earth is the center of the universe. Humanity is, in a very real sense, the center of things in the universe, since everywhere else we find nothing resembling life or beings. So, yes, the Earth, theologically and philosophically, is at the center of matters. And so we don't find life anywhere else, or anything resembling life or human beings, anywhere else, despite valiant attempts by scientists to look for it and find it. The biblical view that the Earth is the center of things is true. I think it's true. The Earth is the center of things. So the opinion of Galileo is a physical opinion alone. The conclusion of Galileo was a statement of physicality. When we know that everywhere we look in the heavens we find nothing but darkness and void, and on the earth alone life and humanity have developed, we have the absolute confirmation of the Genesis story in chapter 1 that God created the heavens and the earth. Despite everywhere we look in the heavens, we find nothing but darkness and void, and the earth alone, life and humanity have developed. We have the absolute confirmation of the Genesis story in chapter 1 that God created the heavens and the earth. And the problem at the time of the controversy of the church with Galileo is that both agreed, but neither understood how both agreed. The Roman Catholic Church felt threatened in its theological stance, but in reality it wasn't. By the conclusion of the Year of Galileo, the earth revolves around the sun. That was merely an observation of fact. It failed to change the reality that the earth is the center of things and only life is found here and nowhere else. I'm confident that whatever happens to the human race, as time and history move on, that God in his mercy and grace and will move history as he chooses for whatever end he wishes to bring about, whatever path process he chooses to employ. The earth is very much the center of the universe. And that whatever happens to the human race in time and history, we will move on, and that God in his mercy and grace will move history as he chooses, whatever end he wishes to bring about for us all, whatever process he chooses to employ. The heavens will be there, but humanity and earth alone will move on to whatever inevitable conclusion is ordained. The earth may revolve around the sun, but in this spring prick of life we call earth, there is something going on that moves along, will bring us to an end we will not understand. So it is the absolute truth that humanity and earth are the center of things. Galileo was not wrong, nor was the church. Both had a misunderstanding, and both were right. You can see it. Galileo approached it from a physical point of view, physicality. The church interpreted the earth's life being found on the earth alone, interpreted it as a theological, metaphysical, and philosophical center of things. We all know, and we all have come to know, that you will never find anything else in the universe, in the entire universe, despite scientists valiantly looking for life, they have found nothing. I recommend that you read my chapter on Galileo in my book called Galileo, A Thought Misconception, on my book Essays in Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy. And I have to say, I gave you a little bit of background about myself so that you understand where I'm coming from in this show and why I say the things I say. I take the courage to say them because I think they're true. And the first point I have to say, this show is a politically incorrect show. We do not engage in political correctness. We do not engage in media lies, media falsehoods, political rhetoric, or anything of that character. We are concerned with truth and honesty and discernment and critical thinking gained by reading Holy Scripture and by reading the great works of the West. Second, I'm a Christian, and I adhere to the creeds of the Church, the Apostles, Nicene and Athanasian Creed, and I adhere to the Holy Scripture and its truth from Genesis to Revelation. I'm not deviating from this position. This is the 2,000-year-old position of the Church about Holy Scripture and about the creeds. I'm not changing. This is what I believe and will continue to believe, and I'm not changing. And this is what thousands and millions of Christians have believed for many, many years. They are not fools, nor is the Bible foolish or myths or nonsense or fairy tales, nor are the creeds not a reality. And if I want to read something, I'll read Aquinas, I'll read Augustine, I'll read the Epistles of Paul, which are the most profound religious documents you're going to find in thinking. I'll read John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress, I'll read C.S. Lewis, I'll read G.K. Chesterton, I'll read T.S. Eliot. These are the books that I value and understand and believe in. So I also run two radio shows, a podcast show and a Blog Talk radio show. They both have a Christian orientation, and many, many visitors from many countries, including Muslim countries, and including Iran and Iraq and Saudi Arabia and Bangladesh. And I'm particularly pleased that Saudi Arabia has an interest in my Christian orientation in these radio shows and in my Christian books. I have a philosophy student in Iran who's very interested in my Christian books, despite being a Muslim. These people are very intelligent, they're very smart, they're very perceptive, they are no fools. They will hear the gospel, maybe they won't believe it, maybe they will, but they'll think about it, I can tell you that. They will give it some very serious thought, my Muslim brothers and sisters. I also have written 10 books, Christian and legal, two legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2, and Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, a book on the parables. Well, I interpret all 41 parables. Let me tell you, I very value and love the parables. They are the mind and words of God in Christ. They are to be taken and read and reread with utmost seriousness. They are the words of Christ. They are warnings. They are advice. Read them, okay, because Jesus is saying them. Whatever Jesus says is critically important and not to be ignored. I also have recently written a book on the Psalms. This book interprets all 150 Psalms with meditation and analysis, and I think it's a good book. It's sold very widely all over the world. And I have to say that the Psalms are one of my favorite biblical texts. As John Donne, the Anglican preacher and poet, said of the Psalms, they are the manna of the church. They inspire me. They move me. They make me into something more than I could possibly be without reading them. When you read the Psalms, you are uplifted. You are raised up and made into some form of thought and thinking that was not possible previous to reading the Psalms. I memorized the 1st, 2nd, and 23rd Psalm. I've never regretted it. I learned it in Sunday school when I was 12 years old. I continue to read the Psalms. The Psalms are the word and mind of Christ and God as he communicates to us in these great pieces of Hebrew lyric poetry. I read the Psalms in Hebrew, some of them anyway, in seminary, and they inspired me with their lyric greatness, and they are great lyric poetry of the Jewish nation. And read them, and you won't regret reading them. As Mortimer Adler has said in his great book, How to Read a Book, he made the statement that when you want to read a book, you want to read a book that's going to raise you up and make you better as a person and develop you. That's what he says about important books, and he gives a list of books in this book. I'm writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I'm also writing a book on pretrial motions and hearings in criminal law. These are all partially completed. I plan to write a book on the blogs that I've written, over 900. The blogs are in fact literary, philosophical, theological, and political. These blogs, I'm formatting them into 3 books. I'm looking for publishers. I hope I find one soon. I am looking valiantly for publishers of these blog books. As I said, I am also writing at some point a book on the book of Job. Job is a great piece of work. It's not to be, to read Job is to be raised up. As I say, when you read the Bible and when you read these books that I've just mentioned, you are raised up. You are brought forward. I choose not to be pulled down by lies and nonsense. I choose to read books that will lift me up and develop me. Whether it's War and Peace, whether it's Paradise Lost by John Milton, Paradise Regained by John Milton, or the Samson Agonistes. Those books by Milton were written while he was blind, and there was a power of his mind that created Paradise Lost, in which he had the perception to understand that paradise was lost in the second chapter of Genesis when men fell and were tempted to think of themselves by their pride as God. Paradise Lost is a very great poem, and I remember one particular sentence in it in book two where Satan says, "Better to rule in hell than serve in heaven." A typical statement of a person whose pride governs them, and they do not want to be subject to God and his greatness and his mercy and his love. They choose not to be subject to that. Too bad. They're making a mistake. I also have written three major journal articles on the Syracuse Law Review and an Academicus, a Albanian scientific journal, in which I have been bought by the State Department, and Syracuse Law Review has been bought by the United States Supreme Court, and all three have been bought by many, many European libraries and libraries in Asia and Africa. That's a little bit about me, okay, as much as I want to say. More important, I urge you, go to Holy Scripture. Read it. Read the second chapter of Genesis. Read about Galileo in my book and understand the mistake that the Roman Catholic made and the Church made and the Galileo made was twofold. They confused the metaphysical, the philosophical, and the theological understanding of the earth being the center of the universe, which it is. You only find life here. You only find beings here. You only find any kind of human beings here. The Church was right in the earth being the center of the universe. Galileo was not wrong in his physical conclusion. But physicality is the only way to make a judgment and thought process. Hope you've enjoyed this talk, and I'll be talking about this again tomorrow night. Good night.